The debate over public schools, school choice, and voucher programs has been contentious for years now. The camp arguing in favor of vouchers say parents know what schools work best for their kids and they should have a say. Critics say that school vouchers have been siphoning funds from public school districts and place students in those schools at a severe disadvantage.
Last week, we talked to two guests who argued in favor of an expanded school voucher program in the state, saying that it would greatly benefit students, especially in rural areas. But our next guest has been advocating for reforms to the program for some time and has introduced legislation that would dial back vouchers and put more resources into public schools.
Representative Jonathan Brostoff of Milwaukee joins us now. He's a Democrat representing Wisconsin's 19th Assembly District. Representative Brostoff, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you, Rob, and thank you, Veronica, for having me on.
Well, tell us about this legislation. It sounds like it does a couple things. Dials back vouchers, puts more into reducing class sizes, more resources in certain public schools. Spell it out for us.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, you kind of hit the nail on the head. You know, Wisconsin has had a really long, proud tradition of strong public schools. And unfortunately, powerful interests have been working for decades to undermine that system and to siphon resources away from our public schools and, quite frankly, to line some pockets. They've also worked to end a successful experiment that we started here called SAGE, which was also around 20 years ago, and that was aimed at, among other things, reducing classroom sizes in schools that were having challenging circumstances for K through third grade. So the Public Education Reinvestment Act, or PERA, will bring back the tradition of strong public schools and put an end to the failed voucher program that has been taking money and resources out of public schools for over a quarter of a century with little to no benefit. And I know by pushing for this legislation, I'm going up against some very powerful interests who have invested a lot of money in the politics of this state. And they might be listening right now and planning against me, but, well, one, they don't scare me, and two, most importantly, regardless of how much money they want to put into either buy or scare politicians, we have a responsibility to fight for what's best for the future of our children. And that means reducing classroom sizes and ending this failed program that has been hurting our public schools for so long.
Now, you say the voucher program, the choice programs in Wisconsin are failed programs. I mean, there's a lot of research on these. It seems like a lot of it is in the middle territory, some maybe improvement in performance for some kids, some kind of on a par. Failure, is that an overstatement?
That's a great question. Yeah, it's interesting, you know, Rob, because I'll tell you something. I'm from Milwaukee my whole life, and I went to public schools. Not only that, but I'm actually of the age, I'm 33 now. So when I was in school, I remember the voucher experiment starting off, and I remember the promises that were made. And in fact, I remember my debate partner, Ife Lutunji, and I had this exact subject. You know, I think it was at Hartford Elementary School where we were debate partners. And at that time, the subject was if it's legal and constitutional to be able to pay for private religious schools with public dollars. But when the debate was kind of starting strong off back then, the issue was, well, we're going to have this amazing program that's going to, you know, flip the lives of these, you know, inner city children, and it's going to be a complete education revolution, and we're going to do so much more with so much less, and this is just going to give the opportunity for everyone to go to these private schools. And that was the initial claim. So their claim was not that we're going to keep par and siphon all these resources away, because if that was the case, then we shouldn't be taking resources away from public schools, which has increased class sizes and hurt their efforts for shrinking the achievement gap, et cetera. They would just be reinvesting in public schools at that point. We could make it stronger. What they said and what they've been pushing is that we're going to have a revolution. They keep, at this point, using the terminology of an experiment because they don't want to say, well, it's been over a quarter of a century, and they still haven't done anything with it. In fact, for a long time, they didn't even release the information of how the students are doing. So now we finally got it. We're seeing, well, there is, like you said, there's not a big difference. There's no revolution going on. And now the real culprit, this is about lining certain people's pockets and pushing an extreme ideological agenda. And another example of the failure is that from 1991 to 2015, 41% of the schools participating in the voucher program close their doors to students. These are schools like Life Skills Academy that are taking the money, closing down halfway through, leaving the students out in the streets, you know, going back to the public schools and having a further burden placed on these public schools and taking the money and buying new cars, going to Florida, whatever. Also, another example is from 2004 to 2014, the state paid $139 million to these failed voucher schools. So now what we're looking at is giving even more money to this program. You know, if the budget goes through the way Walker wants it, roughly $1,000 to $1,700 more dollars in state funding per student than their public school counterparts, is going to be pushed through. So this is kind of a backwards paradigm. And this is also importantly in the context of a program, an experiment that did work. The SAGE program worked. Reducing classroom sizes to an 18-to-1 ratio does work. We have the data on it. So what my bill would do was it would actually expand the program that has worked, that has shown what can be successful, and what parent across the state of Wisconsin wouldn't want to have more individual attention paid to their student. This is the program that works, so we want to expand that, and we just want to stop funding this parallel system that's not as accountable, that's not producing the results they promised, and that is siphoning resources away and hurting our public schools.
Talking to Democratic State Representative from Milwaukee, Jonathan Brostoff, about voucher schools, he is proposing legislation that would dial back on them and put more money into increasing class sizes, especially in low-income school districts. So what... decreasing class sizes. Thank you. An important misspeak there. Decreasing class sizes in public schools, especially in low-income districts. So if your legislation passed, tall order, you're in the minority party, but if it were passed, what would happen to voucher schools and choice schools that exist now?
Well, they would be phased out. Again, unlike the irresponsible voucher school directors, in many cases, or executive directors or profiteers, we wouldn't just leave the kids high and dry. We'll let it phase out naturally so that they can be reintegrated and build the capacity in our public schools.
And then what would you do to restore that SAGE program?
Can you elaborate on that question?
What would your legislation do when it comes to funding the SAGE program on class sizes in schools?
So it doesn't, legislation I'm proposing doesn't exactly restore the SAGE. In fact, it expands upon it. Again, we've already shown that the K through third SAGE program has worked. So this would be expanding it to K through 12. This is, you know, shown that, you know, what one big issue, unfortunately, that we wrestle with in Wisconsin is a significant achievement gap between African-American and white students. So the SAGE program was pretty clear, showing that these lower classroom sizes, the more individual attention, helped all students, but especially helped reduce that gap. So we want to take that and expand it, not just reinstate the SAGE that the repubs have been working on dismantling, but in fact expand it K through 12. And, you know, another quick example of why we need to do this, again, as a MPS student, I remember my freshman year at Milwaukee High School of the Arts over off of Highland, there was a class where I sat down and, you know, I remember thinking very clearly that there's way too many students in here for me to get the kind of individual attention that I wanted for a particular assignment that was going on that day. And I remember very clearly having that thought. But that was back when I was in high school and I was a freshman. Now we're talking about, you know, a situation where it's not just 32 or 33 kids per class. Some of the teachers I've spoken with have said that when everyone shows up, you're talking about 41, 42, 43 kids per classroom. And we're not physically expanding the size of the buildings. And again, we're not putting more teachers in. We're just sardining more students in, and that's totally inappropriate. So one of the side effects that's happened from the failed voucher school program is that it's taken so much resources away from our public school. We need to start rectifying that. And that's why we want to expand it, not just reinstate, as you suggested, K through third SAGE, but we want to take the program and try it K through 12th grades.
We're talking to Representative Jonathan Brostoff, Democrat representing the Milwaukee area. He's joining us today to give us his thoughts on the state school voucher program. He would like to dial it down, put more into public schools.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you think the state school voucher program is helping or hurting families? And what changes would you like to see school districts make throughout the state? Maybe, in this case, decreasing class sizes. Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page.
We continue our conversation now about school vouchers in Wisconsin with Representative Jonathan Brostoff. He's a Democrat representing Wisconsin's 19th Assembly District. He's from Milwaukee. With us to talk about school vouchers in Wisconsin, he wants them to go away, the school choice program as we have it, and he'd like to put more investment into public schools.
And you can join us at 800-642-1234. If you're a parent, what are your thoughts on the state's voucher program? If you're a teacher or an administrator, what impact has the voucher program had on your school district? You can call us at 800-642-1234 or leave a comment over on the Central Time Facebook page.
Let's go right to our callers. We've got Marie on the line in Green Bay. Marie, hi.
Hi. I agree with the representative that we need to look at reducing the number of voucher programs. I am a huge proponent of public school, so you know that I have a side on it, but I'm also a public school educator for 31 years. And the biggest thing that I am seeing happen with the voucher program is they are saying that they're successful, but they're really truly not testing the kids who are getting vouchers with the exact same state testing that we are being required under the state report card to be taking. Our students take the Badger exam. I teach third grade. Our kids take over 12 hours to take this test. And there is no test that is being given to these kids in voucher schools to say, are they truly performing at the same levels they do? I am in a high poverty school. We have 87% poverty in my school. And I just feel that a lot of this program is being built that we're helping low-income families, but they're truly not showing if it's helping low-income families when I see what we are striving for in the school that I work with to really meet the needs of our kids.
Marie, thanks for the call. Representative Brostoff, do you see this as a problem? No apples-to-apples comparisons between choice schools and public schools?
Yeah, absolutely. Marie, is dead on there. And I also just want to say thank you, Marie, for your dedication and for your service. I have definitely heard that sort of thing over and over and over, that this accountability, the standards aren't there. And for a long time, we weren't getting any information out of those schools. But on the flip side, you know, I think it's not just enough to stop this kind of out-of-control voucher program. We also have to work on reinvesting in our public schools directly. So a school like Marie's in Green Bay, I would like to see a classroom ratio of no more than 18 students to one teacher, and if there's specialized training that could be helpful, offering that as well to help with the achievement gaps that Wisconsin, unfortunately, has suffered under. So it's really got to be kind of two parts of the component. We have to stop the bad, and we have to push the good. And we have a great program that Wisconsin's already proven to work. Let's expand that.
Marie, thanks for the call. We'll go next to Jan with us in Milwaukee. Jan, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to bring up, Jan?
My comment is I've had experience in all kinds of schools. I grew up going to public school until high school, then college preparatory. Then I taught at a public school for 18 years, and now I'm in a voucher school. And my biggest concern with the voucher schools is there's a real lack of resources. At least the school I'm in, is the lack of discipline. It is a K-12. I'm in a room that has had no heat a lot of the winter.
Oh, my gosh.
But no airflow. Like, I'm in an interior room, no windows, no airflow at all. But my biggest concern is for the students.
Oh, my gosh.
And they, as far as, like, the STEM classes are really lacking. There's no AP courses. I teach the lower school kids, but last year I talked with the upper school kids, and there are no science materials. They're short books. The kids are not getting chemistry. They're not getting physics.
So, Jan, thanks for the call. So, Jan's saying she's teaching in a voucher school and seeing this under-resourcing there. What do you make of that?
Yeah,
first of all, Jan, please feel free to contact me afterwards. I'd love to chat, 608-266-0650. And we definitely need to do something about that. You know, we have laws about, you know, the temperatures that you have to have in a classroom, and I don't want any children to be put in a dangerous situation like that. But aside from that, unfortunately, her story, although it's quite unfortunate, it's not unique. I've heard that from many friends of mine who, you know, quite frankly, have taught at voucher schools. You know, a friend of mine, Shyla, had a similar experience where she was looking for work, very passionate about education. She worked at this school and saw the kind of horrors going on behind the scenes. And really, I mean, that's what happens. And it gets so bad that one way or another, they have to get shut down. And then the students who are in these schools who are having these, you know, inappropriate temperatures, who don't get enough books, who aren't getting their needs met, the money's going to be often to the executive director, to the top of the person. They're fleeing, taking the money, lining their pockets. The students are left to hang out to dry, and then these students who, you know, have to get reintegrated to these public schools because public schools take everyone. They don't pick and choose. They educate everyone. But oftentimes the students that come through, one, the money doesn't follow. I'm sure everyone listening to this is familiar with Third Friday. But two, are sometimes at a disadvantage because they weren't getting the quality education that the public school counterpart would have been offering. And that's why you've seen so many schools shutting down. You know, I referred to the 41%, but that just sounds like a statistic. But you think about it, that's nearly half of the schools from 1991 to 2015. And that's a lot of students that you're leaving out in the dust.
Jan, thanks for that call. We're talking to Representative Jonathan Brostoff, Democrat from Milwaukee. He's in the state assembly talking about school vouchers. He's sponsoring legislation that would end Wisconsin's voucher program over time and put more investment expand programs that lower class sizes in public schools. Back to our callers now, Jim on the line in Franklin. Jim, hi.
Hi. I am glad we have the opportunity to mention this. With voucher schools, if they have a student who might be disruptive and very difficult to handle, the voucher schools just send them right back to MPS.
Now, exactly.
The problem with this is that the money that they accepted at the beginning of the school year does not follow that disruptive student to Milwaukee Public Schools. So now we have to deal with a student that does have some social problems, and we don't have the money to work with that student. The second thing with voucher schools is the fact that they do not take any exceptional education students, that MPS has to provide the education for those students. In other words, a teacher has to be sent to the voucher school to deal with a student who has special needs. And again, that's money that is coming from MPS to service a system that is not particularly adequate.
Jim, thanks for calling in and sharing your experience. Since we're a little short on time, I want to get to another caller, Representative Brostoff. I want to bring on Scott in Jefferson now. Scott, hi.
Hello.
Hey, Scott.
Thank you for taking my call. Representative, what is your reaction or your response to the study that was published within the last, 3 to 4 months by the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty? And the study result has been promoted by Cullen Roth, who is a fellow at this organization.
Sure.
And within his study, they've done some econometric modeling where they've removed the factors, within the individual to provide an apples to apples comparison. And what their study results, what they claim is that voucher and charter schools put out a better student and a more well-prepared student than the public schools do. What's your reaction to that study?
That is a great question, and thank you very much for bringing it up. In fact, they have kind of been on a tour. They were on the show a couple weeks ago, and I'll tell you this, for government efficiency, it took two highly paid private sector individuals to cover an issue that one government sector worker can do. So there you go. But second of all, these guys are getting paid a ton of money, siphoned through the Bradley Foundation, and, you know, they pay for these think tanks, they pay for these studies, and if you can find an economist for sale, you can, you know, come up with anything that looks official, but is it peer-reviewed? Is it actual science? That's the real question. And when you look at the actual science of it, there's nothing that's been able to prove that this has been successful. What they're trying to do, and again, they still will refer to it as an experiment because they don't want to say that after 25 years it hasn't been successful. So what they want to do now, they've lined their pockets in Milwaukee, they've hurt Milwaukee public schools, now they want to take this statewide, and why we're hearing so much opposition is because people like their public schools in Wisconsin. Again, we've had a long, strong history of public education support in this state, and people don't want that to be attacked statewide. They don't want to see their schools get siphoned all these resources out of, and, you know, they have to pay people like Colin lots of money. He's probably listening. Hello, Colin. In order to advocate for them, because they don't have grassroots support.
And we have to leave it there for now. Thanks to Representative Jonathan Brostoff, Democrat from Milwaukee, talking about school vouchers in Wisconsin.
Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, a guest tells us what's driving the cost of long-term care for seniors and what could help solve that problem.
We'll meet a Wisconsin woman who went sailing on the world's oceans to get an insight on the impact of climate change.
And on Food Friday, advice for great meals on a budget.
That and a look at the top Wisconsin news stories of the week, all coming up tomorrow here on Central Time.